Hello and welcome to the Discover Virginia Beach podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Trahan, your tour guide to the Virginia Beach area. If this is your first time listening, I am so glad you found this show. Each week, I publish a new interview with locals ranging from musicians, government officials, CEOs, artists, and much more. And my aim is simple. It's to help you discover, define, and then go out and do exactly what you're looking for during your next vacation, relocation, or outing to the Virginia Beach area. And if you're looking to join in on the conversation, take part in monthly giveaways, and get your hands on my custom event calendars, head on over to Facebook and send me a friend request. That's Joseph Trahan. And check out my Facebook group of nearly 50,000 fans of the Virginia Beach area. Don't worry about writing anything down. The links for each episode, along with the Facebook groups, will be in the description below and also in the show notes. All right, here's the show. Today, I'm joined by the very talented musician, Bennett Walker Wales. Bennett, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We are in the middle of season two, talking about everything to discover Virginia Beach. And it's only appropriate that we talk about the music scene because it is such a robust part of Virginia Beach. But before we get into your musical journey, would you mind sharing a little bit about where you grew up and, of course, what got you to stick around and build your life and business here in the Virginia Beach area?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm born and raised in Virginia Beach. I grew up in the Great Neck area of Virginia Beach in a neighborhood called Allenton. And born and raised here. I was shipped off to a military boarding school for high school. So I didn't go to First Colonial. I went to Fork Union Military Academy and then went from there to James Madison. And I ended up leaving school so that I could, start playing music. And so I came back home and held down a bunch of jobs, you know, different odd jobs and stuff. And then about 8 years ago, I decided to fully commit to playing music. And what's led me to stick around Virginia Beach is I love Virginia Beach. I love living here. I love the pace of the lifestyle that it is, living down here. And, I get to do plenty of traveling and stuff like that. I really love where I live. And, so that's what's kept me here.
Love it. Love it. Very common theme, throughout most of our guests here is we found a way to, really plug in and enjoy, everything the Virginia Beach area has to offer. Speaking as someone that relocated here myself, you know, it's definitely right. One of those areas that's very special. Bennett, would you mind, I know you'd mentioned, boarding school to then JMU back and forth. Would you mind sharing maybe some pivotal moments during those early years of where music played a part for you, and also how it kind of influenced the way in which you viewed the world?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, music has always been a huge, the centerpiece of my life, you know, since I was a kid, since I came out of the womb. I mean, I've always been obsessed with music, much to some of my elementary teachers' annoyance, I think, because they had a really hard time keeping me on task because I was just always, thinking about music. I'd never even gone to summer camp, so the boarding school thing was a big change for me. I was kind of one of those kids that was slipping through the cracks of the public school system. I just needed a little bit more. I wasn't a bad kid. I just needed a little bit more structure and regiment in my life. So I went to Fork Union and got that and then some. I got totally all the distractions that most teenagers deal with, i.e. cell phones, social media, which I guess when I was in high school was still kind of a blossoming thing. It wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today, but, for lack of better words, without getting, without telling a 2 hour long thing, I didn't really have much else to do up there. So focusing on music was a way to kind of keep myself, sane and to have goals and to not focus on the fact that, you know, sometimes an all guys military school isn't necessarily a fun place to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah.
For a teenage, you know, for a teenager. So, so I've really focused heavily on music, and I had, you know, a great support system there at Fork Union. My teachers, you know, recognized that passion within me and really encouraged me to chase after it. One of my teachers, my biology teacher, his name was John Ranson, would leave the school planetarium unlocked for me every day. And, you know, I didn't do sports or anything. And if you didn't do sports, you had to participate in what they called PT, which is physical training. And I would skip that and somehow never got in trouble for it, but I'd skip that and I'd be in the planetarium for, I'd be in the planetarium for 3 or 4 hours a day rehearsing my chops. And so that's what really built my, the drive, you know, the real steady rhythm of writing and composing and all that. So it was a very big, and that's when I really started to dive heavy into writing my own music and developing my voice. And, I'm still working on that today. You know, following that up, graduating from there, did really well at Fork Union, graduated top of my class with honors and all that good stuff, went to JMU, got to JMU, loved the school, loved Harrisonburg, awesome music scene as well. But I was just like, what am I doing here? I was majoring in writing and rhetoric. And I was like, what am I going to, like, I've known what I've wanted to do my whole life. I want to play music. What am I going to do with a writing and rhetoric degree? Like go write textbooks or something? You know, sure. I was
you already
just
know
like,
how to write.
and it's not cheap. College is not cheap. You know, fortunately, I was in a position that my parents were paying for my schooling. And I pretty much told them straight up. I was like, guys, like this is a waste of everybody's time and a waste of your money. And I can't in good conscience continue to let, you know, I couldn't in good conscience continue to let them pay for schooling that I wasn't going. I hated it. You know, I thought I was, you know, I felt like I was wasting my time. So I left, lived on the Eastern Shore for a year.
How did they respond to that when you told them?
They were not very stoked on it. You know, they were not very, I mean, I told, this was like the first week of college. I was like, this isn't for me. But first week of college, like, you know, I'm sure parents hear that all the time. I'm sure that's a very common thing. It took them a while. I mean, I was at JMU for, I think, like 2.5 years before I finally got the okay to pull the plug and go tell the, you know, people at JMU at admission office that I was like, you know, that I was out and I was going to drop out. Left JMU. Didn't come immediately back to Virginia Beach because I just kind of wanted some time to get my bearings a little bit and develop a plan, figure out how I was going to achieve chasing after a musical career.
Sure.
So I moved to the Eastern Shore and in exile and solitude and lived over there for a year working on cars, which was like the most, I will pay whatever it is for someone else to work on my car. I'll never work on cars again. It's very tough work and your hands get beat up a lot and everything else. But, I was there for a year working on cars and writing music and kind of figuring out how I was going to attack, you know, getting after, music as a career. Came back home, held a few jobs, the last of which was like a pawn shop / gun store. And my boss at the time, I think I was the only one that worked there that wasn't like, that wasn't like my whole life revolved around like gun ownership and, like how they work. And it was very technical. Everybody there was super knowledgeable about how the things work, how to break them down, all that. I was just there to collect a paycheck. You know what I mean? It wasn't my passion or anything like that, like the rest of these guys. And my boss saw that and he was like, dude, you need to just go. And I was taken off already enough to go play gigs and travel and stuff. He's like, dude, you should just go. You should just go play music. And so I did. And that's what I've been doing ever since. you know, full time for like really full time for about 8 years now. And that's where I'm at now. So that's the long short of that part of the journey.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like there were definitely a lot of transitions for you. I mean, the structure of military school to then public college to then, you know, living on your own. Those are very distinct lifestyles.
Totally.
I can imagine it provided lots of reflection for the writing process.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, you go from, you know, from the experience to Fork Union to JMU, you go from, at the time you think, God, this is the most difficult thing I've ever been through. But now that I look back, I'm like, oh my God, that was actually the easiest time. One of the easier times of my life. You know, you're getting 3 square meals a day. You're being told where to go, when to be there. You know, you, not to say you don't think for yourself, but like, then you go to JMU and you go to college and everything's wide open. You got nobody telling you what to do. Nobody telling you, hey, you have to go to class. You got to, you know, wake up early for that 8 a.m. You know, you shouldn't go out, you know, partying on the weekdays or whatever. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah.
So like, lots of change, lots of reflection. You know, I had a lot of crazy stuff happen during my college times, like my being older. My parents got divorced when I was in college. That was a big time of like reflection, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's different when your parents get divorced when they're older, you know, when you're older, because you see everything, you kind of see everything a little bit more for what it is and what's happening. And it was a little challenging. It was challenging for me to, but like it all, everything that I've done, music is kind of what has always been my outlet, my channel. I can use that to fuel. I can use music to get through those things. And it's been the one biggest constant in my life has always been music, you know? So.
Sure. Absolutely. Music plays a huge part in a lot of people's lives, downplaying the events that you went through, but sure, it is a very common theme,
yes,
outlet to have, and to take it a step further is very admirable to pursue, you know, the music and the writing process. Do you remember your first instrument that you learned to play?
Mm-hmm. Well,
what was it?
The first one that I picked up guitar when I was really young, but I didn't stick with it. I think the first instrument that I like wanted to like that I first got into was piano. At the time though, like it wasn't as appealing as guitar because now I'm kicking myself now because everybody, you know, when you're young, you're like, I'm going to play guitar because all the girls like guys that play guitar.
Sure.
And now I'm like, God, like everybody plays guitar. Nobody plays piano. You know, maybe I'd be killing it if I was playing piano. I don't know. You know, who knows? But I picked up piano. I had a really great piano teacher. I just didn't have the patience for lessons or anything like that. You know, I was too kind of young, I think, to appreciate what it meant to play an instrument. And so I was self-taught for guitar. I tried drums. I really wanted to be a drummer. Like really badly wanted to be a drummer, but one of my friends was a lot better than me. And we had a band of just the two of us, and we would jam at his house. And it was obvious that I had to let him play, you know, I had to pick a different instrument because he was natural. He was a natural at drums. So all roads kind of led me to guitar. And then once I got to military school, you know, I was like, oh man, this is what I'm going to focus all my free time on, which was trying to teach myself how to play guitar. Get proficient with the fretboard and knowing where notes are and all that stuff. And I'm not a music theory guy. I learned that stuff when I was really young. I was a classically trained vocalist and learned how to read music and stuff, but I can still read music. It just takes me a very long time, you know.
Sure. I can imagine there's a lot more technology involved too. Not just the chords anymore. I mean, you're talking everything from the soundboard to the amps to the different pedals you can incorporate, you know, electric, acoustic.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you know, what ended up happening is I just became I'm a really strong rhythm player. I only started playing lead, well, attempting to play lead, you know, a few years ago when the gig started getting longer, and I was like, man, I've got to play for 4 hours. I need to like figure out how I can extend this, some of these songs to kind of fill up some of that time. And so I bought one of those loopers, and you know, you, with those things, they're so much fun. Cause you just, as long as you're on time, you lay down a rhythm track and then you can just practice, you know, it's great. It's great for getting your fluency on the fretboard up, and for practicing your chops and stuff like that. So, but my main instrument has always been my voice, guitar, and I still play some piano. I love messing with a synthesizer, but it's totally secondary to singing. That's my real, like, you know, as long as I don't lose my voice, like if I lose my hands, like I'll be okay. You know, I'll still have singing. That's like my main, you know, my main instrument there. So
I love that. And I appreciate you opening up about that, Ben. I mean, you know, going through those different transitions, you know, it's very difficult for anybody, and including somebody like yourself, where you realize at a very early age, you weren't the normal mold for the systems that were kind of in place for you already. So you kind of had to figure that out along the way. I understand you were featured in an article by the songer, the Daily Discovery songwriter. You reference, you know, music and songwriting kind of is like a garden. And also, you know, you're planting seeds and allowing the time to grow. During that season of your early start of your career, looking back, are there any moments of, you know, clarity as far as what type of seeds were being planted during that portion of your time?
I've always felt that everything that I've done as far as pursuing music and really to whatever end that might be, but just knowing that there were moments where my confidence grew as far as being able to realistically look at what I wanted to do in my heart and my soul, which was play music, and knowing that doesn't necessarily mean that means A, you're going to have, you might as well throw the idea out of making a lot of money maybe in the beginning, you know, or forever. Yeah. You just don't really know, you know, trying to make in the music industry is like trying to win the damn lottery, you know? So it's like, it's tough. But there were moments where, you know, I would, have opportunities happen for me, whether there be playing a good show or writing a song that really I felt that I really resonated with, that I was like, you know what, this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't know where it's going to take me or where I'm going to end up, but I know that that's what I want to do. And I'd be miserable not doing it, you know? So, there's a collection of experiences that I can't think of any off the top of my head, you know, outside of those pivotal moments of my life that we discussed earlier. And I don't think there was ever like, there's never been like this golden epiphany moment, not yet anyways.
Sure. But I guess those seeds are still being watered in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think they grow your whole life. I think you continue, you're never going to be you're never going to be the best. There's always going to be somebody or something to like chase after, you know, and that's good. That's good. That keeps you hungry and it keeps you motivated and it keeps you progressing and evolving and becoming a better artist and a better human being, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. So we're coming out of this phase of school, of education. We are more so now focusing in on the writing portion. Do you have any early memories of maybe songs when you wrote them originally, you know, they were still kind of, you know, fluid and kind of figuring them out to a point where you were like, aha, this is my recipe. This is my bread and butter. Was there a moment for you like that? And if so, when did that first come about?
Yeah, definitely. When I was younger, when I was in high school, and I think it's fitting. I think back on it now and I laugh about it, but when I was in high school, I was this very elitist punk rock kid. And if it wasn't punk rock, I thought it was trash. You know, I was like very, very, and you know, it's funny, like here I am as kid in military school, listening to punk rock music and like it all, you know, it was like the stereotype for, you know, I did a lot of the kids at home were like, yeah, that's that like bad kid who got sent away to military school and is in a punk rock band. And I wasn't bad, but I was in numerous punk rock bands, all through high school. But, you know, as I got older, especially into college, you meet people from all walks of life, and a lot of my musical horizons totally expanded. I was introduced to all sorts of other music, you know, from friends and classmates and stuff. And my world just exploded. Like I just really, and I got really heavy into collecting records, and I bought a record player. And I think when my record addiction started is when my musical horizons like really exploded. Cause I just, you know, it wasn't just about what I was hearing. It was also about the, you know, looking at the cover and having this tangible thing in your hand, you know, especially at a time when like the digital side of music was exploding, you know, vinyl sure. was still, you know, now vinyl's really starting to make a comeback. Cause I think people are starting to appreciate those things that I just mentioned. But, you know, I realized if I wanted to have a chance at maybe having a career, you know, you can, I think, unless you're Blink-182 or one of Bad Religion or one of these other bands that's been able to kind of break through the glass ceiling, like monetarily. And, but there's only so much you can do in that world, unfortunately. And like, that's kind of what it's all about really. When, you know, when you get into like the creed of like punk rock music and what it's all about. But I was like, sure. Also, if I want to have a voice by the time I'm 30, you know, I'm 32 now. And I was thinking to myself at, you know, 15, 16 years ago, I was like, man, I'm blowing out my voice after every show. Like, I don't think I could do a whole tour like this.
Yeah.
You know? So then I got really into, it seems a natural progression to me now, but I got really heavy into soul and blues music. And vocally, there are a lot of similar elements in punk rock and soul and blues. Punk rock is very passionate. Punk rock is very, has something to say, has a message. And soul, blues, and rock and roll also have that same thing, those same elements in those styles of music. Especially blues and rock and roll, and soul music, you know? And vocally, you know, a lot of punk rock is aggressive vocals. I mean, you think of some of the greatest soul singers of all time, Sam Cooke probably has one of the most aggressive voices, you know, out. I mean, it's, he's singing notes and he's not screaming, but he's, you can feel the passion coming out of, that noise comes from his face, I guess, is what I'm trying to get. It's crazy. Sure, yeah. That sound comes out of his body and out of his mouth, you know?
That's why they call it soul, coming straight from the soul.
That's why they call it soul. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I think that it was natural for me to kind of really get into that music and kind of gravitate. I started writing a lot more of that style of music. And then all the music that I put out, you know, after that point was totally different. I wasn't doing any of the super fast, like punk rock stuff. I was doing more soul driven, blues and rock stuff. And that's kind of been a huge part of my, I think soul blues, you know, if I had to describe the stuff that I'm doing now, it's a culmination of all those things. It's like a little bit of punk rock, some soul and blues and rock and roll. and that's, you know, that's how, that's where I've landed now, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely. And listening to your music before the episode, you know, you've really done a good job about harnessing the different elements, you know, just playing at those different parts and those different roles and expressions really helps, you know, accent your voice in a way I think is really interesting and you know, creative, considering, you know, with all the technology and music out, you know, it's hard to be a Blink 182 in the words of punk rock. You know, it's not, it's not just a phase, it's a lifestyle, you know,
you
gotta really embody the element of, as you said earlier, you know, it's not just about the money. It's about expressing my voice in a way that's going to help me connect with my inner self, you know, with your soul.
Exactly.
And it wouldn't be fair to just talk about your struggles and also your journey, because you have had quite a bit of success. Would you mind walking us through now, before you went into the solo route, would you mind talking a little bit more about the, I think you just called it the Bennett Walker, was it the Bennett Walker Band? Or what was the band prior to your solo journey?
The Relief.
Gotcha.
Yes. It was Bennett Wales and The Relief. Yeah.
Bennett Wales and The Relief. Gotcha. Right. Would you mind unpacking that for us and talk about some of those successes? And obviously what comes with it, the growth pains that comes with getting a little bit more popular and a little bit more busy.
Sure. Yeah. So The Relief, The Relief was like probably the first band that I've been a part of that actually we were a very hardworking group. We worked our tails off, and we spent the first 3 years, a lot of that, like traveling, trying to, you know, playing festivals, playing Sweetwater Music Festival and playing Mountain Music Festival and summer camp and playing a bunch up and down the East Coast, playing some locally as well. But we got to a point where we had put out a couple albums, and we were in talks with a few people at some prominent agencies. This is like a month or two before COVID. And I think you can imagine what happens next. You know, COVID comes, and all of a sudden, all those people that we had been dealing with no longer worked at these places because, sure, you know, a lot of these bigger agencies, what they ended up doing is laying off, you know, 60-70% of their agents, you know, booking agencies and some management agencies, everybody. You know, I'm sure that was out of necessity, but that's just the way that things went down. And unfortunately for us, you know, we had worked for 3 or 4 years really hard to get to this point, and it was just like overnight, you're back at ground zero. You're back at, you know, having to start from scratch. And not only start from scratch, but you got nowhere to go because you can't go anywhere because you had to stay in your house. And that really, I think as far as the morale of the group, it really was just a huge hit to us. And understandably so. And at that time, some of the guys had young children and wives and things like this. So, you know, it gave everybody an opportunity to kind of focus a little bit on family life, which I think is really, really important. So, during that kind of downtime, a lot of things change and people's lives change. I mean, you're almost, you know, it was about 2 years of that. So,
right.
Not married, don't have any kids.
Different lifestyle together,
different,
right?
Yeah. Different lifestyle. And so I also I was already supporting myself on music at this point, you know, so I had to figure something out because I didn't have another option really. So, I started writing custom songs for people during COVID, and I called it the Song Shop. And so basically the way I set it up was like, people could send me a message or an email and they say, "Hey, I want a polka song about ham sandwiches. Write me a song." And it was all donation based. so people could pay whatever they wanted for the song.
Sounds like the original ChatGPT idea right there.
Yeah, kind of. But this just like exploded. And next thing I knew, I had like all the local news stations like at my door, like calling me, and radio stations and stuff. It like became this huge story. But I was like, man, it got me into this rhythm of writing. I was turning over a song a day, and I would mail them the handwritten lyrics, and then I would perform the song live on Facebook.
Wow.
Night at 7 o'clock, I would perform one of these people's songs. And so that became, and people were incredibly generous in what they paid for some of these things. I mean, I was blown away by the generosity of some of these people that with their donations for these songs. But it got my gears turned. I was like, man, I know I've got something. I'm not the greatest songwriter in the world. I'm trying every day to become better, you know, but I know I've got at least enough. I've got something, enough juice in the songwriting machine within me that I can do something like this and support myself. And I was like, you know what? I needed a creative endeavor at that time. I was like, I'm going to write a solo record. So I did. And I wrote a solo record. Some of the songs from the song shop ended up being on this record. I'd say about half of them actually were probably song shop songs from my introducing Bennett Walker Wales record. And it kind of became, at that point, it grew legs, and I started getting all sorts of other opportunities. And I was just like, you know, this is, the universe is trying to take me in a direction, and I need to chase after it. And so that's kind of what kept me on that path, you know? You know, I worked with my drummer for the Relief, Drew Orton, one of the best drummer I've ever played with. And I think not only one of the best drummers in Hampton Roads, but I think one of the best drummers in the country.
Shout out to Drew Orton.
Shout out to Drew Orton. We've been working together for almost 10 years, and he played drums on that, on my solo record. We're involved in a new project now, which we can talk about a little later. But he's been a constant in all of my musical endeavors since we met and since we first started playing together. But yeah, that's kind of what drove me to, you know, writing that record and starting that project.
Yeah, that's. Wow, what a great idea. And at a time where, you know, your back was against the wall, you were alone, and in a lot of ways, you know, your band had essentially had to prioritize other things, and the world itself was upside down as we knew it. So sure. Well, thank you for doing that. That's a really cool story, and I'm sure that's what drew a lot of the local news stations in, is just something that is very creative and unheard of. And if you weren't a good songwriter before writing a song a day for like a year and a half, then you are now.
It's like, yeah, it was like going to the gym, you know, but the songwriting gym, you know.
I love that. Any favorite songs that stand out to you, maybe that didn't make the debut album online, that you still kind of think about and chuckle, or, you know, maybe are meaningful to you?
There was one song that I wrote for a guy who wrote in and said, hey, I think maybe it was, he was celebrating maybe a year of being clean and sober. And he was like, I've since like fixed all my relationships, and I'm with the love of my life. And he wanted me to write a song kind of about these different struggles that he had. And he gave me some references. So I wrote a song called, I think it was called Redemption. I think it was called Redemption. And I haven't played it in a long time. I mean, you have to understand too, I wrote, I mean, we're talking over 100 of these things. So like, you know, some of them, there was definitely some that stuck out more than others, but not to say that I was like not trying to make each song like, you know, quality.
Oh no, of course. Stuff, of course not. Yeah. You're writing a song at night. You're already performing them. They're in and of that experience.
But I do remember this one being pretty special because it was about an issue that struck a chord with me, like personally, like all of my buddies that I grew up with in my neighborhood. You know, I grew up in a pretty nice neighborhood. It was like, you know, I would say like upper middle class neighborhood. But we had a terrible, you know, wave of, you know, the heroin epidemic, and all these kids got hooked on the stuff. And, you know, a lot of my buddies are dead because they got hooked on that stuff. And so it was about an issue that, you know, after when you've buried a lot of your buddies due to addiction issues, that kind of stuff tends to stick out. So I do remember this song. I never recorded it, but I still do remember it. I've considered putting it on another release, but yeah. And there were, honestly, man, there were a lot of songs like that. There were a lot of songs that people were, there were a lot of fun ones, like people wanting to have songs written about their dogs chasing squirrels and, you know, fun stuff. But there were a lot of ones that were like, some of them were kind of heavy, you know, and at one point I had to take a little break because you start writing a lot of this stuff and like you're putting yourself in their shoes. And so mentally it can really kind of, it can take a lot out of you, you know, hearing some of these stories and stuff like that. But yeah, that song is definitely one that stuck out that didn't make it, that hasn't made it to a recording yet, but it might down the road.
Love it. Well, Bennett, thank you for sharing that. And of course, you know, highlighting, you know, this transition to really your solo debut. And I understand on your YouTube channel, you also have done a few episodes for at least submissions for the Tiny Desk with NPR, which is huge. I mean, that's big. That's exciting. Even just to put your name in the hat is definitely a step in the right direction and an exciting one at that. Could you tell us more about what kind of inspired you, aside from it being, you know, national public radio, you know, what was that thought process like of saying, yeah, I want to write it for, you know, submission for NPR?
Well, let me think. I think the first one I did, just to throw my name in the hat, just kind of for the hell of it, to be honest with you. And that was, I was, that might've been 7 years ago. There's a song called Sugar Walls and it didn't win, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to throw my name in the hat. After participating once, I was like, you know what? This contest, the songwriting contest thing isn't for me. I don't know why it isn't for me. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was like, you know, what the heck? Like, it can't possibly hurt. Hurt to just throw your name out there. And that contest has grown in entries every year. I mean, last year there were 6,000 entrants into this contest. So, like, but the second time I did it, I was just coming out of the ending of a relationship. So I was all beat up and I was like, I'm going to write this really sad song. As
all of us have done at some point after a breakup, you got to write it down or something. Yeah.
Poor girl. She didn't know. She didn't know that I was doing this. And then like next thing you know, I guess I did. And I like, I didn't really think about it, to be honest with you, until after the fact. And I was like, man, and I was like, well, maybe she won't see it. Sure. But of course, she did. And it didn't end up being a big issue or anything like that. Yeah. But yeah, the second one I did because I was all beat up and brokenhearted and needed, I think I was just looking for something to kind of distract me from that. And then last year, I entered just for myself. I'd written this song called Embers that was, I felt like kind of a culmination of coming out of like this 2 year thing of being pretty, of just having kind of a tough go, you know. I was just like, sure. I was just very, very, I was just very depressed. And I wrote this and I had exited the depression. I'd beat it. I pulled myself out and I wrote this song that was kind of like a reflection of that kind of dark period of my life. And I was like, you know what? There's probably a lot of other people, that would appreciate this and might also be able to resonate with it. So I was like, well, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll enter this into the contest. And also this will just be a new song that I wrote that I can release just on video, you know, just through that video. And so that's, you know, that's where I ended up on that last one. And I think I'll probably enter it again this year. I might get the full band in on it this year instead of just doing the acoustic thing. But I think I'll probably enter in again this year.
Yeah, sure. That's awesome. That's awesome. Super excited for that. Especially considering, you know, when you enter anything, you know, you're just like, oh, if you don't win, it's like, oh, I just, that's not for me, you know, but actually it is, you know, just an extra opportunity, you know, to, like you said, sure. Throw in your hat, see what happens, you know, write that song randomly. Absolutely. Exactly. Exactly. Well, Bennett, looking forward to future endeavors and future products projects. Is there anything on the horizon that you're excited about that you might be able to share with us in a little bit more detail of what we can expect from you in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Going to record some new music this weekend with my new band, which we haven't announced what the name is yet because we kind of want to blast it all at the same time. Although, when's this video going to come out?
So this episode is going to be airing in the springtime of 2024. And then I'll use some of the clips for like teasing the video up.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I can tell you. So I've got a new band. It's called the Coubatons. You know what a Coubaton is?
I don't. What is a Coubaton?
I got the name from watching The Righteous Gemstones. I don't know if you've ever watched that show before, but it's absolutely hilarious. Kenny Powers directed it.
Okay.
But anyway,
I'll have to check that out.
So it's so funny. But a Coubaton is like a little self-defense. Like, have you ever seen, like, you see them on people's keychains? They're like little batons about that big. And they're like little self-defense. You can put them on like pressure points or like, you know, they're like a self-defense keychain, basically.
Sure, sure. Is it kind of like a ruse? Like it's a gag gift kind of deal?
Yes, kind of. Like you can find them at gas stations and stuff. You know what I mean? But I don't know. For whatever reason, I like the sound of the word Coubaton. Like it's just funny to me for whatever reason. But this scene in Righteous Gemstones is really funny. If you get a chance, you can just Google Righteous Gemstones Coubaton. And like it just... It was something stupid, needed a band name, we had started writing this music and we wanted to be a band entity, you know, and I didn't want it to be because I'm playing with such high caliber level players that have their own history and their own, you know, can hold their own in their own right. So like we wanted to make this a band entity and not Bennett Walker Wales with a backing band.
Sure.
You know, and I'm writing the music and I'm writing the lyrics and stuff like that, but it's, you know, I'll bring a idea to the table and everybody gets in on it. You know, everybody's getting on the ground floor of the creative process, but it's called the Coubatons. This weekend we're going to Bakery Recording Studios in Richmond to record our debut EP. It's going to be 4 songs. I'm really, really excited about that. The songs are really, really fun. They're really good. I can't wait to bring them to life. The guy that we're recording with is a buddy of mine. We've wanted to work together for, you know, the last couple of years, and finally both of our schedules have lined up so that we can make it happen. And we'll be playing a bunch of shows and doing some touring and stuff like that in 2024 as the Coubatons. And honestly, that's good. That's like my main focus. All my attention is kind of on that right now. I'll always have my solo stuff. I'll never quit writing stuff for, you know, songs that'll just be for me. But
sure.
Playing music with other people, especially your buddies, is so much more fun. You know,
absolutely. It's part of the community.
It's part of the community. And it opens up this whole new world of possibility and what you can do sonically too. And anyways, that's the latest endeavor as far as music, you know, musical endeavor goes. Is focused.
That's so much fun. That's incredible. I'm very excited to look forward to it. You said the Coupetons.
Yeah, it's called Coupetons. Coubotans.
Coupetons.
Coupetons. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, yeah. Let me know when it drops, and I'll
this
segment here, and we'll ramp it up and exciting. And for those listening now who are like, why are we editing in the middle of the video? Because that's what we do here at Discover Virginia Beach. We are here to discover everything in live action as it's happening. And with that said, Bennett, I know you got to get back to it. You got to get back to writing songs. Got to get back to work.
I wish I did have to do that. I've got to get back to doing laundry. That's why we're having this.
Got to get back to doing
kitchen
laundry.
Right now.
I'm actually doing laundry too. Is this laundry hour? Is that just
it's
how this
gotta
works?
It's got to be laundry hour.
Maybe there's a song idea in there somewhere. I don't know.
Laundry hour. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All righty. With that said, we're going to move into our last section here. It's going to be rapid fire. These questions are quick and fast. You can answer with as much or as little detail as you want. Are you ready?
I guess ready as I'm going to be. Yeah.
All right. We'll start off simple. Acoustic or electric guitar for just a casual jam, whether you're listening or playing along?
Acoustic.
Favorite song to perform live to, whether you're copying another song and covering them, or you're writing, singing one of your own?
I would say covering John Mayer Gravity.
Classic. Would you prefer running on the beach or hiking in the woods?
Hiking in the woods.
Any woods in particular here in the Hampton Roads, Virginia Beach area for our hikers out there?
First Landing. I mean, you're not hiking so much as you're walking, but you kind of get a little dose of both. You can get the beach if you get, you know, close to the Narrows out there, or you can go on the other side and hit the trails and stuff. But yeah, hiking in the woods is definitely preferred.
Classic. Love it. Love it. Is there a book or movie that has greatly influenced you in the way you, you know, write music and kind of view the world in general?
Yes. Yes, there is. 2 seconds.
Let's see it.
All right. So I read this book when I was in high school. I had this teacher my senior year, who was probably one of the best teachers I've ever had. Very pushed all of his students to really be creative, had so many creative projects and stuff that we did. But anyways, one of the books that he had us read was this one. It's called Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man by James Joyce. I had to read this book 3 times before I really understood it, because because of the way it's written. It's written in a literary device called stream of consciousness, which is it was a very difficult read, but the most rewarding. And it's, long story short, basically the story of, it's James Joyce's life, but he uses a fictional character to describe his discovering that, hey, I'm a writer, I'm an artist, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Bunch of really cool references to like Greek mythology. Like the main character's name is Stephen Daedalus, and you know, if you know the story of Daedalus, or Icarus, the story of, you know, not flying too close to the sun, or else the wax wings will melt. And anyways, lots of references to flight. Anyways, I'm sorry, this is supposed to be rapid fire. Read this book.
You're good. This is incredible.
This book changed it all for me though. And I've got one of the creeds. The last line of the book is one of the coolest things I've ever read. So discovering that he's an artist, he says, I will not serve that in which I no longer believe, whether it call itself my home, my fatherland, or my church, and I will try to express myself in some mode of life or art as freely as I can and as wholly as I can, using for my defense the only arms I allow myself to use, silence, exile, and cunning. And I've got Silence, Exile, and Cunning tattooed across my chest. So yeah, this book changed it all for me.
Love it. Love it. Sure. Bennett, thank you for sharing that. And thank you for the conversation. That's a great place to end it.
Yeah, dude. Thank you so much for having me. I really, really appreciate it. This was so much fun.
Absolutely. And thank you to our dedicated listeners for checking out another episode of Discover Virginia Beach Podcast. Definitely go and check the link in the description below for all the great things Bennett and his soon-to-be newer band has coming up. And of course, Bennett, it wouldn't be an episode of Discover Virginia Beach without rolling out the red carpet for you. This is your time to share anything else you might like to promote or any final message for the audience. The floor is all yours.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, just thank you so much for having me. I would encourage anybody who's listening to just check out my music. You can check out my previous project, The Relief, on Spotify, and you can check out my solo work, Bennett Walker Wales, also on Spotify. And soon you'll be able to hear The Coubetons on Spotify as well. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Very exciting. Thanks again, Bennett.